It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Yeah, Oli. I push the button.
Okay, good.
Second season of Fargo starting next Monday.
All right.
I'm kind of excited. Twiglet is happy to see you for some reason.
As usual, lately.
He wants you to pet him. Or give him food.
I don't have food and...
You don't smell enough like him. He wants to fix that.
Not interested in petting.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world with 0 grams of trans fat. Seriously, read your labels, people. Pay attention to this stuff. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 239.
So here we are at Peter's Donuts. Yeah, I feel like we've had a run. Isn't this like the third one in a row without missing one or anything?
That's weird for us. I think so.
We've not had this kind of luck for a while.
I know. It's good. Feels good.
What episode number did you say it was?
Well, 239, isn't it?
I wasn't attempting to challenge you. I genuinely couldn't remember what you said 10 seconds earlier.
I think it's 239. Right. I think.
I do that a lot. I do that with people, but the weird one that I do is I go online and look up the weather and then go do other things and forget. And sometimes we'll repeat this like 4 times in the space of a half hour. And I'm like, I've gone and looked at the weather 4 times. I still don't remember what it was. There are certain things that like my brain is just like, I want to know them, but they're not a big deal. So then my brain doesn't pay attention. Weird. And what episode number is one of those. But my brain doesn't care now. Later, when I'm trying to put the damn thing on the internet, my brain will care.
Yep. So
that's why I come back to it. For those of you just joining us, I still love this idea that somebody's like, no, I'm going to start the episode 3 minutes in. Okay. Anyway, we have a hat here. Mm-hmm. We have two. William's wearing a hat.
I'm wearing a hat.
But we have a different hat. Magic.
Right.
A magic. In that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people like yourselves, human beings mostly, right into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, topics, questions, things like that that they want us to talk about. The hat, all of its own accord, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its elliptical servants, draw the note cards out at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the show.
Yeah, as far as we know, if you write that email address, it will eventually...
just pop out of the thing.
Magically show up in the hat, and we'll pull it out, you know, in time.
At random. As far as we know.
I mean, because we've never written the hat. I mean, have you ever written the hat?
I have not. I've thought about it. I've seriously thought about it.
I've never either, so I guess I don't... what we're saying is... other people have written the hat and this has happened, and we presume that it'll happen for you that way.
And it's mostly, if there's something I want to talk about, I just talk about it.
Yeah.
But I keep waiting. I feel like there's going to be something that like I want to talk about, but I don't want people to know that I want to talk about it. So then I'll write in anonymously, but it hasn't happened yet. No pride and no shame makes a lot of things like that easier.
Sure.
So how was your week, William?
Let's see.
An homage to his dead brother. Twiglet's eating curling ribbon. Gray boy used to eat curling ribbon.
I don't even know what that is.
It's like, you know, like on packages you have ribbons, and if you take this the scissors
and you go, make them curl. Like
curl, yeah.
Oh. So you call that curling ribbon?
She does.
Oh, I see. You know,
it was... either that, or she's talking about ribbons specifically for the event of curling. I found out a coworker of mine does curling.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know anybody in this area did.
I know, right?
But yeah, week's been okay. You know what? Something interesting happened today.
Ooh.
Wait,
to you or just in the world?
To me, kind of.
Wow.
One of the news sources that I use is Test Tube News. It's not a typical news source, but sometimes it has interesting stuff on it.
And Test Tube News.
Yeah.
All the news that's fit to tube.
But they, a lot of times they don't really so much have news as they have topics. Like they, they had a video that about mass shootings and, you know,
okay,
what's going on with mass shootings in the United States. Why are there so many mass shootings or whatever?
Yeah.
And, I watched the video and I had some issues with the person in the video that like they'll have one
presenter
person, yeah, the presenter, whatever, yeah. Right. They said something that contradicted what a graphic was saying. The graphic was showing something from a Harvard study about mass shootings, and there was a highlighted piece, and the what the host said did not match what was highlighted in a significant way.
Wow.
Well, but it's a common thing because, well, I won't get into all that. But anyway, so I
but I mean, somebody put that shit together. They should have.
Right, but it's.
I'm not saying maybe there was a reason why they couldn't go back and correct it, but then you leave that bit out.
Well, if I were to talk about it, though, I think you'd understand more how this mistake was made. And maybe some people don't even think it's really a mistake. It's complicated, and I don't really want to get into it. But anyway, I made a comment about it that nobody said anything about. But I also read other comments that people were making, and I was surprised how often I saw sensible comments.
No.
Oh, yeah. And now, people were being blunt and direct and not entirely diplomatic, but they weren't. But there weren't
crazy or founded on nothing
or personal attacks. Yeah. Like people were making mention of a person's sources, a person's logic and reasoning. It's, you know, again, sometimes it was pretty blunt and not particularly polite, but it wasn't personal. And I saw conversations go on for a long time where neither party agreed on anything, but at least the conversation looked civil about gun control.
Wow.
And here's another cool thing.
Test Tube News. Maybe you found the actual source.
Now, there were some bad things, too. Don't get me wrong. But there was a lot more. What I was impressed with a lot more good stuff than bad stuff. And this might have something to do with it. I don't know. But there were a remarkable number of people who weren't American. In there talking about
that
this
can be
topic.
A factor. I have found when I look at comments that can be a factor.
No,
it's still pretty impressive.
Well, that said, you got a lot of comments from people who aren't Americans talking about how because all Americans are criminals, or you know, why are there so many mass shootings because all Americans are criminals and Americans just love their gun. I mean, these broad, sweeping comments about like the way a lot of people outside the United States think of the United States, apparently. Is that everybody in the United States has a gun, loves guns, can't live without guns. I mean, I don't want to be guilty of the same broad stroke and say that everybody outside these
absolutely everyone outside the
because that's not true. But there were a lot of people who made those kinds of comments.
Common stereotype that I think exists in many nations outside of the U.S.
that Americans as a rule are gun crazy.
And that
Cowboys.
Most of us, I mean, well, because I think the stats, or at least the stats used to be like one quarter of us actually own at least one gun.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, holy shit.
Well, the gun ownership in the United States is higher than really anywhere else.
Well, yeah.
But it's far from being every single person has an arsenal in their basement.
No.
It's far from that. And not only that, but there are a lot of gun owners, and I would say, I mean, all the gun owners I knew growing up, I don't know if it's the majority of gun owners or not, but all the ones I knew growing up, were not, they weren't nut jobs about their guns.
Yeah.
That's not my experience with people who owned guns when I was growing up.
I personally know a handful of gun owners now. Almost all of them have never done anything with their gun except take it to the shooting range. Most of them very seldom even like take it out. There are some friends I've had for years that I know they own guns. I don't believe they've seen them since they've known me.
Well, another thing is,
and like my brother-in-law used to hunt, but he doesn't anymore, and so he owns some guns for that. But I mean, it's yeah.
Well, they're
nothing really crazy, and not a lot of like constantly taking them out.
And none of the people I grew up knowing talked about how well you need a gun to defend yourself or anything like that. It was not that they wouldn't defend themselves with their gun if it came to that, but they didn't talk about it or say that was the reason they owned the gun or anything like that. Mm-hmm. The only time I've ever experienced that is when I visited my relatives in Ohio, and they live in southeastern Ohio, so they're practically in West Virginia. And I've talked about it on the podcast because they were talking about all the guns they had and all the ways they had of concealing guns in their house. And I asked them, well, do you have a lot of crime around here or something? No. And they just said, no. Like, why would I even ask that?
Yeah.
But they did talk about their guns in a kind of a, it was a very strange kind of.
Well, and I get that. People fetishize them. And I get that because.
Kind of, yeah. That's kind of what I do that.
Like. I do that hypothetically. Like, I think I've talked about this before. In my role-playing games and stuff, I'm way into guns. And, like, which guns are you packing and what kind of ammo do they do? And all. Yeah. And I love the stats on them. And I'm fascinated by all the... I know a lot about guns. I prefer not to ever be in a room with a gun, even an unloaded one.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a hypothetical, I find them awesome. Like, to me, they're, like, one of my coolest fantasy elements, you know? I don't like the idea of them in the real life. Same with vampires. I don't want vampires to be real, but I think they're cool, you know?
Well, you know, again, so these are my relatives in Ohio, but I didn't grow up knowing them. I grew up knowing people here in Iowa, most of them farmers or whatever, and guns were such a non-issue. It's just another tool that you have, you know, at your
poor
house.
Kitten tired himself out. He was flipping around with that toy, and now he's like, I am tired.
It's just another tool you have at your house. You know, people will say, yeah, but...
Open jars, what is it?
It can kill people. Well, a hammer can kill people. Well, this was made to kill people. Nobody thinks about it like that. You know, they don't think, oh, there's a hammer, there's a screwdriver, and there's the thing I use to kill people. They just don't. It doesn't... It's not like that.
And the people you knew growing up, did they have handguns or rifles?
Well, they had everything.
Okay.
I mean, I don't remember seeing anyone with, like, an assault rifle or anything, but...
Handguns are a tricky one, because handguns were made to kill people. Like, rifles and stuff have some other use, but nobody's going out with their 9mm Beretta to hunt deer.
Not typically, no. But, I don't know, it's just where I come from...
Swords were also made for that purpose.
Where I come from, guns are just... I mean, when you grow up on a farm in America, there's danger everywhere. I mean, farm accidents happen all the time with just about every tool you could possibly imagine using. Your tractor, an auger, the silo, everything. You know, the death is lurking around every corner. You know, the gun that you have at your house that you're going to use to, you know, shoot targets or deer, or rabid skunks, or whatever you're going to use it for, is no more dangerous or threatening than anything else.
But you don't want to get into this.
Well, I'm just talking about the culture that I come from, and it was just interesting. Some of the people speaking from sort of their own perspective in European countries, in particular Switzerland. We're also talking about that's what guns are like where they're from, too. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, but Switzerland is more regulated. But then I don't know if Switzerland is so much more regulated as in the United States. There are a lot of loopholes to our regulations, because that's another thing is people think, well, there's no regulations here. Well, there are.
Well, and here's the thing.
People get around them sometimes.
I'm fine with people explaining their personal experience and all that. But you know what? How you were with guns growing up and the people around you don't mean shit. Because this is the same logic that I actually the same guy I talked about last week who did the fake cuddling joke with me but could only handle it for like half a second. Sitting around talking to people, and he's like, so, talking to another older person that was there, said, do you have guns in your house? She's like, yeah, my dad had them. Anybody shoot anybody with them? Nope. And I'm like, the problem is, that's wonderful, that's great, that's a very specific culture, and it doesn't necessarily reflect anything that has happened anywhere else in people's experience with a gun.
No. I always, the context I was speaking about that stuff in was where that was all in response to how people were talking about Americans and their attitudes towards guns. Okay. And first of all, not all Americans have guns. I mean, so a high percentage do, but even some of them that do have guns aren't nut jobs about it. That's all I was trying to say. I'm not trying to defend.
The problem is, I think we step. You hit to what I think is always a very significant point in this, is that people, well, and people do this with a lot of things, but guns seem to be a big one. What has happened with me related to guns is what happens with guns.
That's right.
In both directions.
That's right, in both directions.
As somebody who has major issues with guns, the people who are like, my kid got shot by a gun, therefore everybody's kid is going to die if we have guns,
which
is also equally.
Yeah, that's why, as you were just pointing out, a person's personal experience is irrelevant to the whole thing. I was bringing it up in a totally context.
Attitudes of guns are much more diverse in the U.S. than a lot of people.
Diverse. That's right. That's a good way to put it. Because I realize that not everybody has had my experience with them.
Well, I don't even know that I saw a real gun until I was
adult. And the fact is, the perspective that I have as a rural person is probably not even close to the majority anymore. Most people don't live in rural communities.
Where
they live in the city.
Generational is fun too, because this is always a thing that bugs me about any sort of tragedy we have nowadays, where people are like, oh, back in the day, it never happened. No, back in the day, you lived in a town of 600 people that didn't have the internet. It fucking happened. You just didn't know about it. And especially when we get into sexual issues. Oh, everybody nobody ever had to worry about feminism or whatever. No, goddammit. People were being abused. People were being marginalized. Oh, yeah. People were being oppressed all over the damn place. You just didn't know about it.
And still apparently don't care about it.
Yes. Well, but no, people love to be like, oh, either that's an isolated incident and what I experienced in my little town growing up is the real truth, or this is proof that something's wrong with modern society. Modern society has fucked it up.
Yeah.
Clearly, we didn't have this stuff before.
You know, that relates to something else I was thinking about this week was, and I've thought about this before, but this week I was thinking about it a lot more, is that, you know, I'm a very optimistic person, right? Mm-hmm. I'm very hopeful for the future and all that stuff. I realize that annoys some people. But I was thinking this week about how easy it is for me to be like that, given my background.
Yep.
Right? I mean, given the fact, you know, if I was just thinking, what if I was someone, you know, what if I'd been female instead? What if I'd not been white? What if I'd had some other, what if I'd been poorer?
What if you'd been autistic?
Yeah, what if I'd had some...
What if you'd been gay?
Or as some aspect of my appearance that put people off. Where
what if you were allergic to hats?
Where every day, what if I had the kind of life where every day I had to deal with the worst aspects of humanity? How could I have hope in humanity if that was my experience? And, you know, of course, it would be very hard to. But then, you know, my answer to that has always been, okay, so I'm a privileged person. So then it's my job to take that privilege and put it to work to help people who have more reason to have no hope in humanity than I've got, to maybe give them a little hope. I mean,
to a degree.
I mean, I think if everybody who got sort of unfairly by the universe got more than other people, if they gave some of that back, maybe that would alleviate some of that suffering.
To a degree, you then have to run into the problem, though, of rather than using your privilege to better society, you are essentially using your privilege to help individuals. Like, some stuff you can't do for people who are not as fortunate.
Sure, but it's...
Some stuff needs to be done by them, and you can facilitate, you can empower.
Right, right. I don't like to think of it as taking my privilege to better anyone.
Yeah.
I think of it more as in fact, if it's if I'm doing anything with my privilege, it's to better myself. It's not. I mean, they don't need. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to presume that they need my help.
Yeah.
Or that, you know.
We should specify just because it always makes me uncomfortable when we start
like I'm the Great White Hope or something.
They in this category is people who have less privilege than us. The broad category of people with less privilege than us.
Yeah.
That's so many people.
But
we're super awesome.
Well, and I don't feel like I'm in some superhero or something like that, or that these people need me for any kind of reason. Again, as you say, people who are less privileged than I do. But I just think that it doesn't cost me anything to just try to put something decent out into the world for whoever.
Plus right? Effort. I don't like trying.
Well, aside from effort.
This is the thing that comes up for me because my ability to be complacent and lazy and avoid news and stuff like that comes from my insanely privileged position. And not just my upbringing, but everything. The fact that I'm married to somebody who has a really good paying job gives me so many options to not do shit.
Well, like I say, I don't quite know how to talk about it without it sounding like some kind of arrogant.
It is weird.
White it's jerk. But the fact is, when you're a privileged person, you do have resources that you can spend on things that other people might not have.
Yes.
And if you do that in a way that improves things for everybody, I mean, not focusing on just one group of people,
but that
improves things for everybody, then that might just improve things for everybody, including yourself, and maybe especially yourself, because the thing is, privilege harms you, right? I mean, privilege makes you blind to things that you really shouldn't be blind to, and it kind of has a way of turning you into a little bit of a jerk.
It harms your personal self.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real dangerous line to go down about. Privilege harms you. Like, that's a tricky line, but you're right in that sense. It harms who you are and who you could be in ways. In other ways, of course, it benefits you.
No, that's
and
right.
There's all sorts of things you can do because of the
and
privilege.
That's the thing about this dynamic between the privileged and the unprivileged. And what a lot of people don't seem to understand, especially when they're talking about gender, is okay, yes, men and women both suffer under the gender binary. There's no question about that. But men suffer under it in a way that leaves them some resources they can use to do something about it that women often aren't afforded.
Just in general, more leverage.
Yeah. So both groups are suffering here, but there's a dynamic where one group is oppressed and the other group enjoys the privileges of not being oppressed and in some cases being the oppressor.
Yeah.
So you have to acknowledge all levels of this. You can't, people just want it to be one thing or the other.
And people are all about the duality.
Yeah, it's all equal. It's all equal. We don't need feminism because men suffer too. It's not all equal.
No.
Except
that it sucks all everybody.
Right.
But in very different ways.
And the people who are in a privileged position, you know, there are more things they can do about it, and that gets complicated because, as I said,
you don't want to
look like you think you're the Great White Hope or something. You're just trying to take this extra stuff you've been given that you didn't earn and that you know, I don't deserve the extra stuff I've been given. It seems only right that I put it back into the world somehow, again, to benefit everybody a little bit, not just myself or the so-called underprivileged or whatever, but everybody.
Yeah. There was the best allegory I've ever found is the idea of white male privilege being the easy difficulty setting on a video game. Like, we all have to do the same stuff. You still have to put in the effort. You're still being opposed by things and all that. The game is just set up so that it's not as much of a challenge for you. You can still suck at it. You can still fail. A person who is playing it on a harder difficulty can still do awesome. It doesn't mean they're automatically going to fail.
Right.
But it's easier for you.
Yeah.
It's easier for most people. My mom would still suck playing a video game on easy. I have friends who are in very less privileged situations who, if you put them in front of a video game on hard difficulty, they would probably do way better than my mom.
Yeah.
But easy is easier.
You know, that term privilege, though, I've noticed in some places it's kind of, people are sort of chafing under that particular
term. Well, and it's getting tossed around inappropriately. Check your privilege is becoming a touchstone for, I just don't like the shit you're doing.
Well, right. But also, you know, like, the male privilege in particular, like, there are a lot of men, especially men who aren't white or who are poor, who don't feel particularly privileged.
Yeah.
And so this word doesn't seem to apply or to fit. I still think it does conceptually if you work through it. And I think...
Well, there's a lot of types. So the poor white guy has some privilege for being a white guy. The rich white guy has privilege for being a white guy, has privilege for being rich. The rich black woman has privilege for being rich.
Yeah.
Also has some difficulties for being a black woman. Mm-hmm. That's gonna come up. Like, it's a thing.
Well, that's
and
right.
Again, we're talking in aggregates. There's always going to be the white guy who was more shit on than anybody of any minority he ever knew, and there's going to be the incredibly privileged / incredibly successful person of color, they exist.
Right.
Tim Gunn has a pretty sweet deal these days. Doesn't mean he didn't have to go through shit, and it doesn't mean, clearly, if Tim Gunn did it, gay men are fine. Just whatever.
Well, and again, I think the argument about the term privilege is, even though most people understand everything you just said, it creates so many, it's so divisive, I guess, that people are looking for a better way to put it or a better term. Well, I don't know.
People don't want to believe they're part of society. I have had friends who I consider very open-minded and intelligent who have told me that there was something that they couldn't, like, a scholarship they didn't get, who genuinely said, it's too bad because I really worked hard on this, and if I had been black or a woman, I probably would have gotten it.
Mm.
And I'm like, I don't know that that is true, but the tricky part is, it doesn't matter if it is, that's still how, like, because the problem is, it's not about you.
Well, right.
It's about the society.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it would be great if everybody... The reason for things like affirmative action and stuff is not because that's cool. It's because there's some shitty stuff going out there that already is tipping it the other way. And it sucks that we then have... We have to do two wrongs to make a right, essentially. And yes, if we could fix one, we could get rid of the other. But in the meantime, it's like, oh, no, it should be whoever tries the hardest. No, because there's a lot of shit that you got that manifests as tried harder, that is not actually tried harder.
That's interesting, too, is I watched a documentary once where a guy lost a political campaign. He was going up against an incumbent, and he believed that he put more work into the campaign than his incumbent did, and he probably did.
Quite possibly.
Because...
That's not what impacts.
It was an incumbent, right? Yeah. So he probably did have to do more work than the incumbent did just to keep his job, and he was kind of going on about how, you know, it's a sad thing how in our country the person that does the hardest work doesn't get elected or whatever. And I thought that's not how it's supposed to work.
Yes,
I mean
it's maybe sad from a certain perspective
because that means if there's two people running for a position, and one person's opposition is a racist, and
they
work really hard at winning the campaign, but the other person doesn't work hard at all because they know nobody's going to vote for this racist.
Yeah.
That when the racist loses, the racist should have won because they worked harder. That doesn't make any sense.
He just wanted it more. That's
always a good line. Well, there's this very simple-minded notion about, well, if you work hard, this will happen. And so, therefore, the person who works the hardest, well, it does not work that way. And especially for people who aren't male or white. Because if you're not one of those things, you automatically have to work harder than everybody else to get the same thing the white person, white male would have gotten.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, this all seems just really obvious, and not because I was indoctrinated in it growing up or something. I grew up...
No, but people believe, well, a lot of, not everybody, but a lot of people believe that, again, in social terms. But they're not society. They're Bob. They're Josephine. They're a person. So yes, they get it overall, like in the world, but I'm me, and in this circumstance, I worked the hardest, or I earned everything I got, damn it. Which is not true. Nobody earns everything they got. Nobody. Even the poorest, most squalid people had some help from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. That's
unless
right.
You're a feral child in the woods. And even then, you know.
The wolves,
I'm a caveman. Your modern conveniences frighten me.
No, and that's...
Caveman lawyer didn't get any help from anybody. But other than that...
No, but you're absolutely right. It's just...
And that's how people... view it. People think their experience is truth, and they think that their experience is outside of society. That their experience, they're always the exception.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, it was a good conversation, and I was disappointed with how people outside the United States saw us. Sometimes I was really impressed with what people outside the United States were saying in relation to the whole thing. And some of the people from the United States had sensible things to say too. And again, there were trolls and everything just like usual, but it just seemed like I just really surprised at how sensible the conversation was. Cause it usually, as you know, that's not my experience, especially with things so divisive as issues of gun control and whatnot. But anyway, I suppose that took up a lot more time than
about a half hour.
Oh, sorry. What were you going to say about your week?
I didn't say I was going to say anything about my
week. Were you going to say anything about your
week? I was going to say something about my week.
Go ahead, by all means.
One little sign. So last night, I watched a movie. I straight up can't remember what it's called. There's another shitty horror movie. I'm very disappointed. Netflix lost a bunch of stuff that I really like. Like half my queue just disappeared on October 1st.
Mm.
But I watched this movie. Shitty horror movie. Not very good. Whatever. Two fascinating things about it. The most fascinating thing about it was I either have seen it before and straight up don't remember seeing it, or it was full of such cliches and tropes that I felt like I did. Because I basically, the entire movie, I had a sense of deja vu. The entire thing. And it was insane. And then the other thing, and this was weird... they had a dedicated naked person. Let me explain. This was a horror movie, as I said. The main character... I guess there were four main characters. Three women and a guy. They're like college freshmen friends or whatever. And then one's boyfriend. And the movie's all... it's all possession and stuff like that. And it involves an evil spirit who's possessing this girl and is going to cause her to give birth to the Antichrist, like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, this is a movie with some freak-ass premises that lends itself to gratuitous nudity pretty quick, because we have a lot of, quote-unquote, attacks by the spirits and stuff like that, and all sorts of pretty terrible special effects along those lines. However, our protagonist, who is the woman in question, who is being... brutally assaulted by spirits and stuff. No nudity in the whole film. However, a tertiary character, and only said tertiary character, has like three or four scenes where she's naked. So I'm like, so literally, the contract, like the casting was like, you're the one who's going to be naked in this movie. Because I mean, like identical, like, well, not identical, but like she had a shower scene. Shower scenes are where you show it and like stuff, which whatever. A different character had a shower scene in which we didn't see it in the same movie. I'm like, so clearly you just marked this person.
So she's like running nudity interference for the other female actors.
Exactly. It's like, we got to put nudity in this movie. You. And it's not like one. I've seen movies where like, here's our token shot of boobs from an extra or something like that. I've seen that. No, she was a character. She was involved in many scenes. Several of them, she was naked. No one else was in the movie. In the opening credits, There's some grainy footage that has a little bit in, but it's not an actual character. Like, you don't know anything about who that was or anything. Just this one person. I'm like, how was the contract negotiations on that? Okay, you're here because you're going to be the naked person. Like, what? Yeah, yeah, nobody else is getting naked in this movie.
Yeah, we want these other two women in the movie. They don't want to get naked, but we have to have nudity.
They're
so
going
to
act.
It'll be you.
You're going to be naked. You'll have lines. We're less concerned how well you'll do with it. She did fine, by the way. But it was weird. But also, an hour and a half of deja vu. It was anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about. I want to talk about something that happened this weekend.
Yeah.
That, despite everything we've just said, I think, flying in the face of this, I'm pretty sure this objectively makes me better than all of you.
Oh, okay.
Saturday night.
I thought you were already convinced of that, but...
That was subjective.
Okay.
Saturday night, I'm with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Went up to Cedar Rapids. Paramount Theater, and saw live Ms. Bernadette Peters.
What?
Bernadette Peters live at the Paramount Saturday night.
No kidding.
Holy shit. The woman is 67, looks better than I will ever look a day in my life. If I did not know her already, I would have guessed she was a well-aged 40. But I'm like, that can't be, because I've liked her too long. So I looked it up when I came home. She's 60 goddamn 7. Absolutely gorgeous. Hour and a half. All her. No intermission.
Wow.
Blew it away. Made herself cry like 6 times while singing. Which means one of two things. Either she gets so carried away by the music that she cries, which is awesome, or she's a good enough actress that she can fucking make herself cry 6 times on stage in an hour and a half, which is also awesome. Unbelievable. She did Send in the Clowns. She straight up did Send in the Clowns. I have now solidified, I've always had a weird ambivalence with Send in the Clowns. I think it's a great song. It also seems really stupid. No. Expertly put together song, musically and lyrically. Amazing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Life-changing. Holy. I felt like a Jewish mom seeing Barbara Streisand.
Did she...
Unbelievable.
Did she dance?
Yeah, she moved around quite a bit. I mean, there was a lot of motion, but I wouldn't say dance.
Well, that used to be a thing, right? Didn't she?
Yeah, yeah.
She was a dancer.
She climbed on the piano. Well, she. Here's the thing, and here's what I'm trying to explain to people. It's hard to... People who don't know Bernadette Peters. And here's the thing. Impromptu, great movie. Love her in that. Love that movie.
I don't think...
Recommend that to anybody.
I don't know if I've seen
great
it.
Great movie.
Maybe I have
movie
seen it.
Movie about bohemian artists in 19th century France. Specifically focused on Georges Sand and Frédéric Chopin. And the cast includes Judy Davis, Hugh Grant, Bernadette Peters, Julian Sands, Mandy Patinkin, Emma Thompson, somebody else I'm forgetting. Amazing film.
Huh.
Love it.
I don't think
sort
I've seen it.
Sort of a period comedy. Love it. Highly recommend it. She's in that and it's great. Also, of course, Into the Woods.
Oh,
basically,
yeah. Into the Woods.
Basically, what I
that.
Tell people is I'm like, she's basically been in every single Broadway show since 1960.
She's been in a lot of
every
stuff.
Every single one.
That's right.
And, of course, Muppet Show.
Yeah.
Was on the Muppet Show several
that's,
times.
That's
loved
right.
That. And lots of things. I think she's been in a couple Woody Allen movies. I mean, she acts in a lot of things. She's currently on the Amazon show Mozart in the Jungle, which I haven't watched. I'm gonna now. She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing. And yeah, got to see her live. Unbelievable. I spent so much of the evening like this. You can't see at home, but just imagine. A shocked Jewish mother who didn't know Barbara Streisand was going to come out on stage. That look. That's the look I had. I put my hands to my face and I was like, oh, well,
so,
whole night.
So you, have you been a fan of hers like your whole life?
Or? I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, I've always liked her.
I
don't know
when she
was, I was a
when,
fan.
When I was younger. So back then, I'm not sure I put it together.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really until Into the Woods that I was like, oh.
Yeah, really good. Because
that really brought it home. And then Impromptu was great. And yeah, I don't see her in enough things, but I just... And, yeah, she's just got the pipe. Like, that's the thing. She was a stage performer on stage with... This was an Orchestra Iowa thing,
mm-hmm.
And so it was them, and then she brought a trio, bassist, drummer, piano with her. And she was up there doing a little, you know, patter with the audience on times, and singing standards, singing musical hits, stuff like this. She's just an expert at it. Just the sheer craftsmanship of the entire thing, including how the hell she fit into the dress. She was fucking poured into that dress. 60 goddamn... I'm almost angry at her. Because she's that old and looks that good. These are Helen Mirren levels of keeping it tight. It's just insane. Life-changing shit happening there.
Yeah.
Also discovered Detroit-style pizza.
What is Detroit's
stuff? Exactly, right?
Yeah, what is it?
So, there was a roller derby event up in Cedar Rapids a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
Trish and Steph went. I was having something wrong with my shoulder, and it was, like, really hurting.
Mm.
I was like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to lay down.
How is it now?
It's good now.
Okay.
But it was, for some reason, for a few days, I think I just slept on it weird. I don't know, but it was really a pain. So, I didn't go. They went, and they went to this place called Ruby's Pizzeria. It's actually right around the corner from the Paramount. So I went there, had pizza, liked it, brought some leftovers home. I liked it. So we're going up to see Bernadette, Bernie, and Trish is like, we'll go to Ruby's. And I was like, okay, fine, because it's right around the corner. No, you always say that. It's Ruby's. I said Rosie's, and then we walked in the door, and I was like, oh, it's Ruby's. And they got the pizzas listed, and this is New York style, which is what they got before, which is not—it's not really New York. It's just thin crust, but they called it New York style. And then they had a section they like Detroit or Chicago style. And I say, Trish, I'm like, what's Detroit style? She's like, I have no idea. So a waitress comes, I'm like, what's Detroit style? She's like, I have no idea. No, it's not true. The waitress knew. So she says it's a little bit thicker crust, and there's sort of caramelized cheese on the edge, and the sauce on the top. And we're like, okay, we'll try it. And so we order that. And to me, I'm like, so it's just like a shorter Chicago style? That's what it sounds like.
I don't know what Chicago style is.
Deep dish, and then there's sauce on the... I was like, so it's like a... No, it's not. It's his own thing.
Okay.
So bring it out. Here's what it is. It's a little thicker crust. A little bit, maybe, you know. Not like deep dish crust, but like thicker crust. And they don't put the sauce on it. They put the toppings, and they put a bunch of cheese, such that the cheese melts over the outside edge... So that there's literally a ring of just, like, caramelized cheese around the outside.
Mm.
And then the last couple minutes before it's done, they pull it out of the oven long enough to dollop sauce on it.
Okay.
And then they put it back in for a couple minutes, and they take it out and serve it to you. It's amazing. It's really good. And I discovered, as I was looking around, most of the people in there, that's what they ordered as well. So I think that's, like, a thing for them. But I had never heard of it. But it was really tasty.
And it... And it's really that much different than any other style of pizza. I mean,
it was to me, yeah.
I mean, different styles of pizza to me only means, like, is it a lot of crust or a little crust? I mean, you know.
Oh, no, there's so much more going on.
Well, I know.
Pizza, Chicago style pizza, you know, various types of thin crust, flatbread versus a genuine New York style. It's going to be that floppy, greasy crust, yeast crust, not yeast crust. There's all sorts of things. What is wrong with you, you Philistine? Wait. You're almost vegan, so pizza is like a different language to you. You don't even know what that
means.
Well,
you know, us growing up, we had pizza, a lot of different kinds of pizza from a lot of different places. And a lot
really?
Of
really?
Oh, yeah.
How many pizza places were there in Melcher, Dallas?
Well, not very many, but there were all kinds of pizza places in Knoxville and Des Moines. I mean, we'd sometimes bring pizza home from Des Moines. And,
all right, then.
And, I think just about every kind you described just now, I've had that kind of pizza.
See, I hadn't experienced most of it before,
but it was all the
college.
Same to me. I mean, it didn't all taste the same.
Yes, but you don't get food either. We established
that. It didn't all taste the same, but it didn't taste so different one from the other that I thought, yeah, this is a whole different taste experience. It was still
drastically
pizza.
Different.
Still
things.
Just pizza.
You're a lunatic.
Just cheese and sauce and toppings and bread.
Yeah, you're a lunatic.
That's it.
You don't know shit about shit. You know what I'm saying. Heretic.
I'm just telling
Philistine,
you.
Philistine.
I mean, deep
troglodyte.
but the Chicago, the thing you just described with Detroit style or whatever, no, I've never had anything like that. Yeah.
So today we went to Bob's Your Uncle across the street from ACT.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Bob's Your Uncle anymore. Now it is Boyd's Grill and Sports.
Okay.
So I ordered something grilled and I ordered some sports. No. So it's some of it's the same menu, some of it's not. But so we're looking at something that has a list of the sides, and one of the sides is baked cheddar casserole. And I'm like, that's incredibly not descriptive enough. I'm like, casserole can have all sorts of things. Clearly this one involves cheddar.
Sure.
But what? So I tell him, like, what is baked cheddar casserole? And she's like, you know, like cheesy hash browns? I'm like, oh, okay. This is a thing. At college, we called it party potatoes. At Cracker Barrel, they call it hash brown casserole. You know, it's sort of hash browns. Maybe there's some onions involved and cheese and stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, okay, I like that. We'll get that.
Okay.
We'll try that out. So they bring it out. And it's like this. It's that stuff. The hash brown casserole, cheesy, whatever. Took a scoop of it, put it in a bowl. Dumped a ton of cheddar cheese on top of that, and then put it in the oven in the bowl to bake. And I'm like, this is a stupid side dish. I'm eating it up like crazy. I can't even imagine like how terrible that is for your body right there. It's so good. And I'm still eating it, and she's coming back, and she's like, how's everything? And Trisha's like, he's got issues with it. I said, yeah, this is a ridiculous side dish. She's like, oh no, do you not like it? I was like, no, I love it. I think it's irresponsible to make it. And she's like, I get that. Like, I keep telling myself, maybe don't eat it 6 days a week, but I do. Like, yeah, no, I totally understand that. It's ridiculous. So at the time, I went to La Casa, which doesn't exist anymore, and I don't even remember what they called it on the menu, but here's what it was. It was a big bowl. They put in it jack cheese. And tomatoes. I'm pretty sure that was it.
Just jack cheese.
It was a bowl of cheese that then they had baked in the oven. It had tomatoes. And they brought it out to me. And I took melted cheese and it had tortillas. And so I'd glop some onto a tortilla and roll it up and eat it. Amazing. Not a real thing. Not something you should feed people. You get arrested for that kind of thing. So delicious, though. But I'm like, you're trying to kill people. Like, I feel like this should be illegal. It's that kind of thing. Really good, though. It might have just been queso fundido, because that's kind of what that is. But I don't know. It's really good, though. Bernadette Peters, see her live if you can. Otherwise, I will always be better than you.
I think I can live with that.
One of our listeners blackmailed me with our friendship.
Really?
Coffee told me recently. Well, she's disappointed because of certain things I haven't experienced. One of which is the movie Titanic, which I'm like, fuck right off. I'm proud I haven't seen that movie. I'm proud my wife hasn't seen that movie. I'm never going to see that movie. She's okay with that.
Okay.
But the other one that she said, you have to see it. Before the end of the calendar year, we can no longer be friends.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you only get to play that card so many times. And she's like, I understand. It's important enough. And what it is Twin Peaks.
What about it?
I haven't seen it. I have to see it.
The whole thing?
Yeah, the TV show, yeah.
Well, it's streaming on Netflix.
It is not anymore, actually. Netflix just lost a bunch of shit.
Well, you mean it's not streaming anymore.
Yeah,
like, you could still get
anymore.
The discs.
I assume you can, yeah. But it's not streaming on Netflix anymore. I think I know people who have DVD I can borrow it from. But I have not experienced it. I've always known that was a bad thing, and I wanted to experience it. I hadn't gotten around to it. Now, apparently, I got to do it before the end of the calendar year.
Well, we tried to watch it a couple times, and we just couldn't. I mean, I don't know. Well, I didn't watch it when it was first on.
Yeah.
I don't even remember why we tried to watch it.
I am a little worried about how it holds up.
I suppose because
as I've said many times, adored Babylon 5 does not hold up well.
I think we didn't have anything else to do, and we saw that it was streaming, and we thought, and I said, I've never seen this. Have you? No, I haven't seen it. So we just tried to watch it. And we watched a few episodes, I think. I mean, we didn't just give up on the first one, and you have to look past the fact that it's aged. Dated. Yeah, it's dated. And it's like, I don't... It's just not,
I do kind of like
probably
David
wouldn't
have
liked
Lynch,
it back
so
in the day.
We'll have to see.
But. Well, but see, and I don't. I mean, yeah.
Except Straight Story.
Yeah, Straight Story is awesome. But outside of that, well, like when the brother-in-law was in town, he had me watch Blue Velvet.
Still haven't seen Blue Velvet.
I hated it. I hated it.
But like, meanwhile, I adored Mulholland Drive.
Oh, we saw that. And we liked it.
And I actually
okay, that's
I actually
fine.
Really
Mulholland Drive is all right.
Dune. I don't like it as a film adaptation of the book. I think it's terrible as that, but I like it as its own thing.
But the Straight Story was good, and we saw Mulholland Drive, and it was good. But Blue Velvet, I hated it.
I've still never seen Eraserhead.
Twin Peaks, I think we saw Eraserhead. I don't think I like that either. So, I mean, David Lynch is just not on my list of directors that I'm like, which is, I mean, it's a matter of taste, right? Yeah, yeah. I totally understand, like, why my brother-in-law loved it. You're not
bothered by his
No. I can see why other people like it. I just don't.
Well, stay tuned, people, because I'll be watching Twin Peaks, and I'll tell you what I think.
I'm actually interested to know what you think, because I just didn't.
We better draw something out of the hat, or we're going to be out of time.
Okay.
Don't worry, your supper's not
ready yet.
Of course.
Anonymous asks.
Oh, Anonymous. You ask the most interesting questions.
Are you a Pokemon Blue or Pokemon Red person?
To which William answers, no.
Yeah. I'm, you know.
This is an interesting thing, though.
I don't even know what that means.
I'll tell you what that means. So Pokemon, as I understand, my first experience with Pokemon was living in Grinnell and not having cable or anything like that. I had rabbit ears on my TV, and I got like 4 channels. And one of them one day showed an anime show in which young people captured wild, cute anime creatures and made them beat the shit out of each other. And I was like, this is the best thing ever. This is like what I hadn't realized I'd been waiting for that, but that's what I've been waiting for. Were you high? No, I was not high.
And it was still awesome.
It was. I just love the idea. I was like, it's like Hello Kitty and her friends have to battle. Like, it's awesome. Love that idea. As it went on, I realized it was more kid friendly than that. But I was still into it to the degree that my girlfriend and I went to the theatrical release of the original Pokemon movie. And we were the only adults without children in the entire theater, and the theater was packed. I felt weird about that. Years later, I grew to hate it. However, as I understand it, Pokemon, first of all, was a video game. And it was a video game, I think, for the Game Boy, or possibly the Game Boy Color. I don't know. But the point is, and what I say is interesting, is it was actually 2 video games. One was called Pokemon Red, and one was called Pokemon Blue. People are going to have to help me with this, because I didn't play these. They were slightly different, but only slightly. I believe really the only difference involved certain types of Pokemon could only be found in one or the other. And this was important because an aspect of Pokemon is trading. And this way, literally, if you wanted to get all of them, you would have to find somebody else who had the other copy of the game and trade them some of the ones that were special to their version of the game. This was enough of a thing that virtually every Pokemon game released has had 2 versions. And so it's Pokemon Red and Blue, and then I think they had, like, Black and White. At one point they had Crystal and Sapphire. They had what I played, the one I ever played. You, like, Pokemon Ruby Red, or Fire Red, or Leaf Green, I believe. And those supposedly were remade, like updated versions of the original Red and Blue. So I suppose technically I've played Pokemon Red then. But they've done this forever and ever and ever. Pokemon X and Y, and there's always 2. Now, what this means in terms of being what kind of person, I have no idea. I think they're just being weird. But this has always been a thing that
they release
essentially the same game.
Started out as twice. A story made up to
scare children into putting animals.
No,
into
like
balls.
there are a lot of cartoons where the toy came first. Right?
Yeah.
So I thought this was a cartoon where the trading card game came first.
It's possible, but I don't think so. I think it was video game first, and then I don't know if it's trading card or TV show next. There are other ones, like Yu-Gi-Oh! Is a trading card game that had a TV show. But I believe with Pokemon, the video game was first. But I could be wrong. But I always found that an interesting concept. Also frustrating because as a kid, I was very completionist. So the idea that, like, so I have to buy this twice if I wanted to. Because I also was antisocial. So I'm like, I'm not going to be playing with other people. So I was like, so I'm going to have to buy two of these? Yeah, fuck that. But I think it's a very interesting idea. There's a similar thing in the Nintendo game Animal Crossing, where you make it's, which is like a very cutesy version of The Sims, basically. But one of the things is you can plant trees and they grow fruit, but not every kind of fruit will grow in your town. But you have the ability to visit other players' towns, and then you can take some fruit, like from one of their fruit trees, plant it in your town, and then you'll have that particular fruit tree. So it's the early stages, which were really adorable, of cooperating with other people playing. Now, it's become a thing where in order to get past this part, you have to tell 50 Facebook friends.
Right.
And that's awful. But originally, I kind of liked the idea.
Or you can pay money. Sometimes you can pay money to get around it.
It depends. But I liked that back when it was sort of an artistic and a playstyle thing and not an economic thing. But I guess technically based on that, I am a Pokemon Red person. Don't hate me for that. And William is neither.
But it's just an arbitrary thing. It's not like...
I don't know.
That's not the thing. Because my understanding is like the magic...
I might have just said I'm gay or something.
The Magic the Gathering cards, there are different packs correspond to different colors and they can include different types of characters.
Yes, but that's much more of a... That's an elemental system for the magic in that game. Because magic, the premise of Magic the Gathering is you're this super powerful wizard against this other super powerful wizard, and you are casting spells and summoning creatures and shit to kill them. And so all the cards are just that. Mm. And so the colors correspond to different elements. And different elements frequently have thematic magics attached to them, but you also want to like counter with other ones. So, you know, we've got the fire magic, and so you want to have some water stuff to counter that, and that kind of thing. Because I played a lot of Magic. The producer also did. We didn't play it together. We still have our cards. So every few years, we find them, and we're like, we should play this again. We play Magic for like a day, and then we put them away again. It's kind of fun. And so there would be some of that. Like, okay, what kind of deck do you have? Oh, I have a red-blue creatureless deck, or I have a green-black deck, or...
But this Pokemon thing doesn't mean anything like any of that.
Well, this Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue are literally two video games.
Yeah, but there's nothing meaningful behind. It's just an arbitrary.
Not as far as I know. I mean, like, Anonymous could tell us, like, are there certain Pokemon in one or the other that, like, if you really like it, you get that one then?
Because
into that kind. I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
It's possible. And like I said, it's possible by being Pokemon Red, I'm gay. I don't... That could be a thing. Maybe only left-handed people like Pokemon
Blue. Maybe one had more flying-type monsters and the other one had
lizardy-type monsters.
Or who knows?
One was much more violent than the other. One is just kids Pokemon and one is Pokemon with all the swears left in
it. It seems like a strange question to ask if what you're saying is the whole reason they made two was so... Whichever one you bought, you wouldn't have all of them, and that was intended to lead you to get together with someone.
Originally, there were 150 Pokemon, and you had to catch them all.
Yeah. So
now there's like a bajillion.
So the idea to releasing two games was to get people who owned one or the other game to get together and trade, but this question makes it sound like the people of one or the other game would say their game's better somehow than the other people. Which wouldn't be very conducive to trading.
I don't know. Anonymous, go on to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and explain to us what the hell you're talking about. Or the rest of you Pokemasters can help us out here.
It could be there's some kind of subculture-y thing involved that happened.
Absolutely.
That doesn't even have anything to do with the original Red.
This is all about dogfighting.
Red and Blue, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we're talking about some sort of gang affiliation we're not familiar with. We should specify our ignorance here. Don't shoot me because I said Red. I'm literally referring to a video game that I purchased when I was younger. That's all. I'm not saying I buy into the Pokemon Red lifestyle. whatever that may be. I'm not saying I'm opposed to the Pokemon Red lifestyle either. I'm refusing to say whether or not I think it's a choice or you're born that way. I have nothing to say about my ethnic background and whether or not that gives me, that allows me to engage or reject the Pokemon Red lifestyle. None of that. Pokemon Blue can suck it. Wait, sorry, no, that was not. I didn't. I don't know what I'm saying. Don't hurt me. Pokemon people is hardcore. That's all the time we got today, peoples. So, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and explain to us about the Pokemon Red lifestyle. you know, fat stacks and peanut butter 24/7, and I have no idea, seriously. That'll be fun. Just go there and tell us elements of the Pokemon Red lifestyle, and we won't know if you're lying.
No, it'll sound completely plausible to us.
And in the meantime, like us on Facebook. We're up to 42 likes now on Facebook. Give us some reviews on iTunes that are really good, because we like them, or bad, whatever. We want something to happen. We get bored. Also, you got to catch them all. 239 episodes so far. to be the best there ever is.
Choose one.
Or was. Yes.
And then have them fight each other.
Magical Talking Hat Red. Magical. Episode 33, I choose you!
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.